Thank you. Welcome to worship at Advent this first Sunday in January. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be to you, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, who wonderfully created and yet more wonderfully restored the dignity of human nature, grant that we may share the divine life of him who humbled himself to share our humanity, your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The first lesson this morning is from Jeremiah, chapter 31, starting at verse 7. This is Jeremiah's foretelling of God returning his people from exile. Listen to the profound joy that the Lord himself has in blessing his children. Now, this is what the Lord says. Sing with joy for Israel. Shout for the greatest of nations. Shout out with praise and joy. Save your people, O Lord, the remnant of Israel. For I will bring them from the north and from the distant corners of the earth. I will not forget the blind and lame, the expectant mothers and women about to give birth. A great company will return. Tears of joy will stream down their faces, and I will lead them home with great care. They will walk beside quiet streams and not stumble. For I am Israel's father, and Ephraim is my oldest child. Listen to this message from the Lord, you nations of the world. Proclaim it in distant coastlands. The Lord, who scattered his people, will gather them together and watch over them as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Israel from those too strong for them. They will come home and sing songs of joy on the heights of Jerusalem. They will be radiant because of the many gifts the Lord has given them. the good crops of wheat, wine, and oil, and the healthy flocks and herds. Their life will be like a watered garden, and all their sorrows will be gone. The young women will dance for joy, and the men, old and young, will join in the celebration. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and exchange their sorrow for rejoicing. I will supply the priests with an abundance of offerings. I will satisfy my people with my bounty. I, the Lord, have spoken. The word of the Lord. The psalm for this morning is Psalm 84. It's on page 4 of the bulletin. Let's read in unison. How dear to me is your dwelling, O Lord of hosts. My soul has a desire and longing for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God. The sparrow has found her house, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young by the side of your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are they who dwell in your house. They will always be praising you. Happy are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on the pilgrim's way. Those who go through the desolate valley will find it a place of springs, for the early rains have covered it with pools of water. They will climb from height to height, and the God of gods will reveal himself in Zion. Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Hearken, O God of Jacob. Behold our defender, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed. The second lesson for this morning is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, beginning in the first chapter at the first verse. As Paul encourages his congregation in Ephesus, the message is that we believers can grow in our knowledge of God only as a gift from God. How we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we belong to Christ. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for Christians everywhere, I have never stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the wonderful future he has promised to those he called. I want you to realize what a rich and glorious inheritance he has given to his people. I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord according to Luke. So we heard in Jeremiah about the anticipation of going back to Jerusalem. The psalm talked about the joy in the dwelling place of God. And when John read from Ephesians, we're reminded about the amazing, abundant provision that God has made for our lives. And it all comes around being in the center of God's will and purpose for our lives. The concept of the dwelling place of God in Israel's time when Jesus was alive was the temple. And in Luke 2, we skip from Christmas to when Jesus is 12 and the parents go with him to the temple. Luke 2, 41 through 52. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it. But supposing him to be in the caravan, they went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And stop there just for a second. The idea of the caravan is that it really wouldn't have been safe for Mary and Joseph and Jesus to travel that road alone because of robbers and thieves. So they would travel with other people. Continuing in verse 45, when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. The Gospel of the Lord. This morning, I'd like to share one key thought for you that I hope will have a good impact on the beginning of your time in 2020. And what happened for me this week, I was in the book of Genesis earlier, and I came across the brief reference to Enoch. And I want to read that passage to you and then speak a little bit about it. When Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Enoch lived 365 years, walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. Now, before we get into the serious part of it, he was 65 years old when he became a dad. Just think about it. I was thinking about Social Security then. But in that era, they lived a little bit longer. Now, the key that for me is that Enoch walked in close fellowship or relationship with God. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, that we have an opportunity to really be like Enoch, to have that regular time of fellowship with God if we choose to make that a priority in our lives. Enoch, it says about that era in which he lived in Genesis 6, verses 5 and 6, this is well after creation, but just before the flood. It says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously." So Enoch lived in a culture that was very much turned away from God, and that corruption was a normal part of what he saw. But it says that he walked in close fellowship with God. And sometimes we can look at our world and say, look what's happening. How can this be? And yet there are people like Enoch, and we could be someone like him who walks in close relationship with God no matter what is happening in our life or in the world around us. One of the things to me that is just amazing about Enoch, this was long before there was scripture, written scripture. There were the stories of what God had done, who Adam and Eve were, and what God had done in life. But this was long before there was a written version like we have. I know in my own experience, I have had so many Bibles, so many versions. He had nothing. But sometimes we who have so much struggle to have the time to be with God. So I want to speak about seeing that we could walk in relationship with the Lord in the way that Enoch did. You know, you will hear said often that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Whether that's true or not, a more important meal is the first 15 to 30 minutes of our day. What do we make a priority? Do we make it the news, or do we make it a time that we say, I'm going to start by being in close fellowship with God through my quiet time, by reading the Word, by prayer, by music, by Bible study, whatever that would be for you. I went to a health club near where I now live to sign up for a membership, and I was talking to the lady who was at the counter, and I had commented that I assumed that during this time of year that many people come in to sign up, and she said, oh yeah, it's always like that, we're so busy, but we just wait till the middle of February and people give up on their resolutions. And so I encourage you that spending time with the Lord in the morning is a really good resolution, but make it one that you really can keep, that you talk about. I have done that for years. When I first came to know the Lord in the mid-70s, I came to understand that if I wanted to have a relationship with God, I had to make him a priority. And for me, that meant I started reading through the Bible in a year. Other people love to focus on one book for a year. One time I spent a year reading Genesis and studying it. Doesn't matter. The key is that God's Word is powerful, and when you open yourself up to it as a believer, by His Holy Spirit, He will guide and speak to you, encourage you. It doesn't happen through the local paper or whatever news you watch. It happens through the powerful Word of God. I was reflecting this week the number of authors that are in the Bible. 40-some people wrote excerpts of the Bible. In other forms of worship, for example, in the Mormon faith, Joseph Smith wrote the book, the key book. In Islam, the writings or the sayings of Muhammad were gathered together by one person, but it was Muhammad's words, whereas in the Bible, over 1,500 years approximately, God's word was written, recorded, and saved into one book that from beginning to end tells the same story that ultimately leads to Jesus. And the concept is that, like Enoch, we need to focus on who God is in our lives and what he would do for us and lead us. In the book of Psalms, the first one, beginning at verse 1, it says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Enoch didn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And when it says law of the Lord, that means God's word, not simply the Ten Commandments. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Here's the idea, that we have great times of joy in our lives, and we have times of struggle. I remember walking down the sidewalks of Bexley, Ohio, which is outside of Columbus, where Tammy and I went to school, when I proposed to her. And she said, of course, yes. I had 5 years of school left. I don't know what she was thinking. But that was a time of great joy. I remember the birth of our children, the sorrow when, at the end of high school, the Cleveland Indians didn't draft me. Of course, I couldn't play for the high school team either, but we have ups and downs in our lives that are just exhilarating, and then sometimes it takes your breath away. But in all of those times, it's important that we have a foundation upon which we live our lives. And to me, that comes as a Christian from taking in God's word daily. It's not a matter simply of reading. It's a matter of encountering the living God on a personal way. And for me, by far, the best way to do that is through devotional time in the morning before the busyness of the day. And so I want to encourage you to think about that. In the New Testament, Paul talks about what happens as we grow in our faith. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, he says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit." As we walk with God, we grow from when we first recognize that Jesus is who the Bible says he is, and begin to have fellowship with him through the Word, through the Holy Spirit, through interaction with other people. It's an amazing thing that if the Lord's goal for us was simply to recognize that Jesus was Lord, we'd all be translated into heaven as Enoch was after 365 years. But we live as witnesses. We live to grow and become deeper in our relationship with the Lord. So as we think about that, I've asked Dick to come up and share a bit about his experience with that and the impact that his morning devotional time has had upon him. And then my hope is to ask him some uncomfortable questions as well.
So this came about this morning because I was reading the lessons in the 8 o'clock service, and during announcements, I imposed upon the people to echo some of the personal experiences that I've had with morning quiet time. So several years ago, there was a Christian recording artist by the name of Rich Mullins, and Rich, unfortunately, tragically died in a plane crash going from concert to concert. But one of the songs that Rich wrote that I repeat every morning because it helps me get centered, and that song is Day by Day. God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. God, you are my God, and I will praise you. I will seek you in the morning. I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step, you'll lead me, and I'll follow you all of my days. And when I don't start my mornings with prayer and Bible study and devotions and quiet time, I start my day focused on me. I start my day focused on what's important to me, on the things that are impacting me. And alternatively, when I start my quiet time, when I start my morning in quiet time, in prayer, in Bible study, in devotions, it gets me centered on what the Lord wants for me that day. And for me, it makes all the difference in the world. And I can tell those days when I'm not disciplined enough to spend that time with the Lord.
Because other things get in your mind that take you away. Do you remember when you started morning devotions?
You said a hard question, didn't you? No, Paul, I don't remember how long ago that was.
Wait a minute. This is not working.
Okay, so it must have been 25 years ago. No, seriously, it was probably that.
And so think about the number of years that you have been in the Word, sent up prayer, had an impact on your life that you wouldn't have had without that time. It's an amazing thing.
Yeah, it's really hard to grapple with that analytically, John. It's hard to think about what that means without being in the Spirit. I can think intellectually what it means, but it's so much bigger than just what's going on in my physical life or my intellectual self or my analytical
life. Yes, and I know that in your life, whether it's with the business that you own, leading the church, your marriage, your role in with your extended family, you have great challenges, great joys, but also some real difficult times. What impact do you see that your morning time with the Lord has for you when you go through both the ups and the downs of life?
Well, part of this discussion this morning started with the passages that we read in Jeremiah and Ephesians and Psalms. I was struck by references to desert, references to exile, and how often I have felt in those desert places, in those periods of exile. And so the encouraging words in all three of these readings this morning and in the gospel is that there is hope. There are blessings that come from relying on Him, not relying on self.
Even in challenging times. Thank you, Dick.
Especially in challenging times.
Yes. It's easy when it's joy.
Right. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You know, Dick just made reference to the gospel where Jesus went to the temple as a little boy, forgetting ultimately him as the Messiah and what happened in his 3 years of ministry. That can be a priority for us, that we want to be in God's dwelling place, which in the New Testament times, after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, is here in our heart. The Holy Spirit will come and dwell within us when we receive Jesus as Lord. So that's a powerful thing to grasp. Also this week, I was looking at two Greek words that to me are really significant that talk about the change that God's Word has in our lives. When our children are little, at least in my family, and what we did in Sunday school where at the different churches where I was, we taught the Bible stories that everyone knows of the fishermen in the New Testament, of the story of Christmas, of Goliath, of many other people in the Old Testament, Samson, King David, and they're good stories. The Greek word for that kind of God's word is logos. It simply means the written word. When you read the Bible, it's just the written word. But when you come to know Jesus in a personal way, there's a different word. It's called rhema, which means a word of revelation for me. I had gone through college and seminary where, in preparation for ministry, you learn the original languages of the Bible. And I did that. We translated. That was just logos. That was just written word. Then when Jesus became real to me, not just as a historical figure, then all of a sudden I open up the Bible and it speaks to me. This is about me. When the Psalms talk about David's struggles and joys, it's about Paul's struggles and joys. That's a rhema word that begins to change your life. And when Paul talks about transformation, we go from that place where we understand what the Bible says to where it begins to have an impact on us. And then finally, other people begin to notice something has changed about you. You're not the way that you used to be. That's the inner transformation that happens as we walk with the Lord and invite His Holy Spirit to be a part of our lives. It doesn't mean that we are exempt from challenges, as Dick referred to. It doesn't mean that we don't experience great joys. Of course we do. But it means that through it all, we have a foundation for our lives that we can depend on no matter what's happening in our lives. And I want to close with one final scripture. I had prayed about the message for today before I went to sleep. And in the middle of the night, I woke up and this word came to me that I want to share with you. It's Hebrews 4:12, probably familiar to many of you, but to me it's powerful. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joint and marrows, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I want the word of God to be like that in my life, to separate out my ideas, my self-centered stuff, so I can focus on the fact that he has a bigger purpose for my life than simply occupying space and leaving a carbon footprint, but to make a difference in the lives of others, to be an example of what can happen. I want to close with this, and some of you will have heard this before, but it's still true. When my wife came to accept Jesus as Lord at our church in New York at a tent rally, I asked her afterwards what happened. Why now? And she said, because she had seen over the last 3 years the difference in my life since Jesus had become real for me. And so that she wanted that for herself. I didn't realize I had changed. I looked the same in the mirror in the morning. But by God's grace, he uses us and causes priorities to change as we spend time with him. So I encourage you to make sure that at the beginning of this year, you make him a priority. And as you age, you will not regret it. Whether it's 25 years or even more for me, God's word is a deposit in your life that will go with you wherever you are and whatever circumstances you are in. So let's now stand together and share together our faith, confessing the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
This morning's prayers of the people are found on page 6 of your bulletin. Father, we pray for the Holy Catholic Church, that we all may be one. Grant that every member of the church may truly and humbly serve you.
That your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons, especially Archbishop Welby, our presiding bishop, Curry, and our own bishops, Hollingsworth and Love, and for Pastor Paul, that they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world. May be justice and peace. Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake. Our works may find favor in your sight. Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble. from their distress. Give to the departed eternal rest. Let light perpetual shine. We praise you for your saints who have entered into your glory.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and the needs of others. We especially lift up all those in our prayer list, the intercessory, and those listed in your bulletin, and ask you to pray throughout the week for their comfort and their health and recovery. And please join me with the prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry. We humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be with you. Now let's share that now with one another.
Afterwards, he asked me to take part.
Oh.
Good morning and Happy New Year. Lurking in the wings is Mr. Mekas. He must have something to say. Oh, okay.
I have lots to say, but I'm not going to get into it. I made an error last week in announcing Men's Night Out. I said we were going to gather on the 9th, and that is a weekday way too late on a Thursday. My correction is we are gathering a week from this Monday, which is the 13th, at the Berea Union Depot at 6:30. I looked at the calendar that was posted outside the office and failed to realize that it said December and not January.
Typical woman.
When you get old, it happens. But so we meet on the 13th.
Good. So that's Men's Night Out. I'll bet we're going to hear about Ladies' Night Out.
The ladies are going to meet at 5 o'clock at Nuevo Acapulco. That's located at 21750 Lorraine Road. And it's across the street from the Fairview Park Shopping Center. And as of right now, I say where two or three are gathered together, the Lord is with them. And I'd also like to talk to the choir for a couple minutes afterwards, too. Thank you.
So there are some clipboards floating around asking you to sign up for the potluck after the annual meeting 2 weeks from today. So mark your calendars 2 weeks from today. We'll have one service at 9 o'clock, have a short break afterwards, and then the annual meeting, and then after that, a potluck. So please sign up for main course or side dish or dessert. And John, we're counting on you to have something special from New Zealand. Which, interesting, so I heard Debbie asking about John's accent. So it says nothing to do with church, okay? So last night watching the Cavs, The center for the Oklahoma City Thunder is a guy named Steven Adams, and he looks to be about 6'10 and about 250. Turns out he's from New Zealand. He's one of 18 children. His baby sister is a shot putter for New Zealand, and she is 6'4 and weighs 260. Shot putter from New Zealand. Welcome, John. Like I said, it has nothing to do with church, right? Okay. So another mark your calendar. I have mentioned this before. We'll start running it in the bulletin. On March 15th, Bishop William Love will join us for confirmation and baptism. This will be Bishop Love's first visitation since about August of 2016, so we are happy to have him coming. He will be in Houston at a House of Bishops meeting, and so he will be flying home from Houston to Albany by way of Cleveland on March 15th. So we've got confirmation classes going on. We'll have baptism at that time, so special time for us to reconnect with Bishop Love in person. Finally, some of you may know our son, Seth. He and his wife and stepson live in Roanoke, Virginia. He's a hospice chaplain there. And they sent out a Christmas letter this year, he included in the letter some extracts from different publications that they've been reading during the year. And one of them struck me, especially in light of what we talked about this morning. It's a book written by Kevin DeYoung called Crazy Days. And in that, Kevin DeYoung says, God has given us the Sabbath as an island to get to in a sea of have to. Think about that. We're living in a sea of have to. I have to do this. I have to do that. I've got to-do lists. I've got places to go, people to see, blah, 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 blah. We live in a sea of have to. God has given us the gift of Sabbath to be an island to get to in a sea of have to. Have to, yes. We'll have someone to pray in the back with you for prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of hope, prayers for encouragement, prayers for healing. Peace be with you.
I'm kind of stuck on the New Zealand. I've just been interrupted.
Don't forget prayers and, birthdays and anniversaries.
I did forget.
Yes, well.
I would be excluded.
That's why we're a team, Guy.
I would be excluded from the cake if I didn't. What I was thinking about, and this is where my mind is, for dinner I'm making French dip sandwiches for two, my brother and I. Can you imagine the Adams family, 18 children? Oh, think of the au jus bowl you'd have to have. Oh, my goodness. So January birthdays and anniversaries. Thank you very much, Dick. Any birthdays this month? Wow. Oh, okay. We have two and one still in the back. Why don't you go first?
Peter and I were identical twins separated at birth. No. Karen Edwards, January 29th.
And I'm speaking on behalf of my daughter Meg, whose birthday is the 28th, and will be 28. She is in a nice warm plot in Orlando, Florida, at SeaWorld.
28 on the 28th. Something special ought to happen.
Yes.
I'm suggesting a major gift. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Let's pray for the birthday folks. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the blessing of another year. And we ask that your protection, favor, and prosperity would be with them in this year. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. Any anniversaries this month? Yes. Oh, no? We just saw a gentleman being polite. Any anniversaries this month? I guess January isn't a popular anniversary month. So I'm going to move forward. Let's present our offerings now to the Lord.
Thank you.
We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For in the multitude of your saints, you have surrounded us with a great cloud of witnesses, that we may rejoice in their fellowship and run with endurance the race that is set before us, and together with them receive the crown of glory that never fades away. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, also after he'd given thanks, our Lord took into his hands the cup, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Now please join me in the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God are for the people of God. I invite you to come in faith and receive. Please join with me in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of our Lord Jesus, which passes all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts through him. Amen. As you go along that narrow way this week, may you go in peace and serve the Lord.